TGH, TGH. Oh, come on, make some noise. If you're here this morning, that means that God's faithfulness reached you. Oh, come on now. I'm gonna say that one more time. If you're here this morning, that means God's faithfulness reached you. I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to just thank God for waking you up, for giving you breath in your lungs, for sending you on your way, and bringing you to church today. Amen, amen. I'm so grateful for God and His provision. It's a beautiful day today, and it's a beautiful day to be in church. Y'all look good. Tell the person next to you, you look good today. You look good on this beautiful day. Come on now. You put your shorts on, kneecaps out, and everything. Wow. I love it. I love it. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord today, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm super excited because today we're finishing up our obedience series. Everybody say obedience. Hopefully this month we've been able to examine and maybe even redefine obedience for a lot of you in the room today. And we've learned about the price of obedience and the process of obedience. And then last week, Marcellus gave us a fire word for the fathers in the room and learned about our Heavenly Father. Make some noise for that again. I'm still high off that word. And today, I have the assignment of preaching about the great promise that Jesus gives to all who place their faith in Him and become His disciples. I'm very excited because this might be one of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life. It's the promise of our great hope as believers. It's what every believer's heart and soul longs for. And Jesus, He encouraged His disciples with this promise back at the Last Supper before He would go to the cross. So I want to go with you to John chapter 14. Will you go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 14? And I'm just going to read verse 1 through 6, and then we're going to receive the word today. And I'm not going to be long because I know we're ready to get together and grill. But there's a word for us on today, and there's a promise that you can hold on to in times of discouragement. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 1, He says this: "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in Me." This is where it gets good. "There is more than enough room in My Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with Me where I am. And you know where I'm going." Then Thomas said, "Hold on, Jesus, no, we don't. We don't know, Lord. We have no idea where You're going. So how can we know the way?" Then in verse 6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm getting excited already just reading this. He says, "No one can come to the Father except through Me." I'm going to pray, and I need y'all to pray that I don't do a backflip off this stage preaching this. But I'm so excited to share with you the promise for the obedient. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray to You, just thanking You that Your faithfulness and Your love is steadfast and it doesn't run out. And we thank You that we can reach back into Your holy word and look at what You promised the disciples back then, knowing that the disciples of today can still hold on to the things You said. And in their time of discouragement, Lord, You gave the disciples a promise. And I pray that today at least one person would hear this and say, "I have to be a disciple. I have to give my life to Christ because this promise is something I cannot miss out on." Dear Heavenly Father, we're so encouraged, even in times of discouragement, that when we can look in Your word, that You can give us joy and peace because of what you've promised us. So, dear Heavenly Father, move Charles out of the way and let your Holy Spirit speak. And it's in your name we will be diligent to give glory. Everyone who agreed with this prayer, say amen. 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 Take a seat all over the building right where you are. I'm going to have you look at your neighbor one more time. I got a greeting for you today, a special word. Look at your neighbor and say, saludo. I just learned that word today. Come on now. I'm going to get some brownie points with some of our brothers in the room who taught me that word. But I'm so glad to share this word with you today because it's so timely. It's something that when we think about one of the toughest truths to accept about life, you would even admit that now that you're an adult and now that you've embraced life and you're living on your own, one of the toughest things to realize about life is you can never be too certain about what's going to happen. As much as we would like to have control and make plans, do I have people in here who you just want to have control? You want to make your plans? God bless my plans. Give me control. Cosign my plan and I give you glory. The control freaks in the room, we just, Lord, if it's your will for it to be my will, let this plan happen. But every day we wake up and we're met with the unexpected. And each day you have to just embrace the fact that there can be unexpected things that can happen and can rock your world. And it may be in your life, your friend's life, or even people you love. Every day we deal with uncertainty. And as people of faith, we must always remind ourselves that we have a powerful thing that people in the world do not have. And we have promises from God that we can hold on to. Oh, I wish somebody would get excited about that. In times of uncertainty, we have something that the world does not have. Though our plans may not always work out, though we might not always get what we expect, we can hold on and be certain about the promises that God gives us. Always remember that God is a keeper of his promises to those who believe. There's a song that says he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. Then it says he's a promise keeper. And in times of uncertainty, we have to remind ourselves of that. That I may not be able to plan out my life and I don't know what's next, but what I can do is hold on to the truth that God will keep his promises. And in our text, we find Jesus and his disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper. And Jesus, for the past few chapters, has been sharing with them some tough news. He was telling them how he would be betrayed. And he was telling them about how he was going to have to go to the cross. And he was telling them about amongst the disciples, someone would deny him. He had to tell them that he was headed to a criminal's death on the cross. And you can imagine as the brothers who gave their life to follow him, who for the past 3 years, they saw nothing but miracles and amazing things happening. This was discouraging to the disciples. They did not want to see Jesus go out like that. So much so that Peter even tried to rebuke Jesus for these plans. And they had to realize what we often realize, that God's will and his plans for life doesn't always line up with what we expect. And sometimes his plan for your life can be discouraging. And he shares his plans with the disciples and even told them that after all of these things, he would have to leave them. And he wanted to comfort them and give them assurance that as they dealt with the reality of his situation, there was a promise that they could hold on to. Go back with me to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3 for my first point. Jesus starts by saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. See, Jesus starts by attending to the discouragement of the disciples. They were processing the fate of their Lord and Savior. They were processing that Jesus would get arrested and he would be tortured and he would have to die on the cross. They had to process that. And I love that before he gave the promise, he attended to their discouragement. He didn't just gloss over how they felt. He tells them not to let their hearts be troubled. And then he says, trust in God and trust also in me. There's somebody in this room where you came discouraged. You came uncertain about what was next. You came like, Lord, I don't know what you got to say today, but I don't know what's going on in my life. And the first thing Jesus says is, don't let your heart be troubled. Oh, I'm so glad we serve a Savior that's not blind to our discouragement. Jesus is not blind to our discouragement. When we wrestle with life, when we wrestle with his plans, when we wrestle with chaos, he says, don't be troubled. But then he says, trust in God and trust in me. He says, when you don't know what's happening next, when everything's uncertain, what you can do is trust in God and trust in me. Our Savior is trustworthy. Our Savior can be leaned on in times of chaos and uncertainty. Jesus says, though your heart may be discouraged, don't let it be troubled. Trust in me. Then in verse 2, he says, there is more than enough room in my Father's house. This is where we get my first point, which is the great hope and the great promise. He says, there's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, what I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. If you're taking notes, the first point is his great promise. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us in heaven. Oh, I wish you got excited about that. If I would have said Jesus is going to give you $1 million, somebody would have had a shana up in here right now. Jesus is going to give you the perfect mate. Jesus is going to bless your career. I want to say all that stuff, but this is an even greater promise. He says, I'm departing from you right now, but guess where I'm going? To prepare a place for you in heaven. And I love how he even says, there's more than enough room in my Father's house for you. Jesus gives them a promise that they can hold on to as everything unfolds. Because after this Last Supper, everything is going to start being even more discouraging. They would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus would sweat drips of blood and start to cry, and they wouldn't pray with him, and then he'd be arrested. And for the next few days, it would be discouraging. But the last thing he said to them was, when I leave, I promise you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Watch this. And it's not just any place. It's a place in my Father's house. I love what he says in verse 3. He says, I'm not only going to prepare a place for you, but then he says, when it's ready, I'll come to get you. Woo! He says, I'm leaving to go prepare a place for you. And when it's ready, I'm gonna come back and get you, and you will be with me. This is not just a promise that Jesus made to his disciples back then. This is a promise to all who would believe and trust in him. He says, I'm gone for right now, but where I'm going is my Father's house. And there's so much room in my Father's house that all who believe while I'm away, I'm gonna make a room for them. And while I'm gone, I'm gonna be with my Father thinking about you, praying for you, covering you until I come back. And not only am I preparing a place, I'm coming back for you. And you can trust in this promise. On Wednesday, TGH had its first corporate Bible study of the summer. Who made it to the corporate Bible study? Make some noise. Hey, it's cool if you didn't make it. We have one every month for the rest of the summer. Just taking that note. But for our first corporate Bible study, we discussed how our relationship is often referred to as a marriage. Our commitment to Christ isn't simply a religious practice. It's a lifelong covenant. And we are married to Christ. And in our text today, we see Jesus using marriage language. When he says, I will go and prepare a place for you, this is marriage language. See, back in biblical times, when a brother wanted to marry a nice fly sister, what he would do was he would meet with her family and he would ask for her hand in marriage. And when it was accepted, they would be engaged. But they didn't just rush to planning the wedding. When they got engaged, what would happen is there would be a year of separation. So he would leave her father's house and then go to his father's house. And when he went to his father's house, he say, "Father, I'm engaged and now I'm preparing to be married." And how they prepared was they would literally build a room attached to the father's house. So he would spend a year preparing a place for his future bride. And we learned this week in the Bible study that the bride of Christ is the church. So you are the bride of Christ. So when Jesus came to earth and he established a relationship with us, that was just the engagement. And when he died on the cross and he ascended into heaven, what did he do? He went back to his father's house. And he said, "I have a bride waiting on me." And the father said, "Okay, we need to make some room in this house for your beautiful bride." So while Jesus is away, he's literally preparing and building rooms for his bride. I don't know if that's exciting to you, but I'm so glad that I have a room in my father's house. It's a room just for me because I fell in love with Jesus. So right now, we're not with Jesus. He's separate from us, but you can encourage yourself knowing what he's doing while you're separate from him. Jesus promised his bride that he would prepare a place for her. And we are his bride because right now, the church is in the time of separation. We're engaged to Jesus, and we're in that time of separation. And Jesus is away preparing heaven for us. But his promise is that he'll return and bring us home to the place that he prepared for us. I don't know if that, is that encouraging to y'all? Let me just pause real quick. This promise is what we hold on to. This is our great hope. I know we want Jesus to bless us right now, but this promise is for eternity. When Jesus returns, he's bringing heaven with him. Go with me to the second point. Now we're at verse 4 in John chapter 14. And it says, after Jesus made this promise to his disciples, he said something very interesting to them. He said that he is going to the Father. And then he says in verse 4, "And you know where I'm going." Then Thomas, you know Thomas, they call him Doubting Thomas for a reason. Thomas was the one where it's like, I need proof, give me the receipts, I don't believe it. Just because you said so, mm-mm. Thomas, he taught us that it's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to be like, "God, I didn't really catch that. Can you run that back?" Thomas taught us that God is not afraid of our questions. Jesus said, "You know where I'm going." Thomas said, "No, we don't." Before you leave, he said in verse 5, "No, we do not, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Thomas was concerned. Thomas, you can't just give us all this bad news and give us a nice promise and then not tell us where you're going. And I love how Jesus responded. Jesus is notorious for having dynamic and cold one-liners. Like, he'll just say something and drop the mic, and it's like, ooh. Oh, my gosh. Thomas doubted him and said, "We have no idea where you're going, so how do we know the way?" And Jesus responds and says, "I am the way." Jesus tells him, the way to God is not a path, it's a person. The way to God is not a path. It's not a lifestyle. It's not works. It's not things you can do. The only way to God is through a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And he didn't just say he was the way. He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to say that one more time because it's so good. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is saying that not only am I the way to the Father, but while you're waiting on the way to return, I'm all that you need in the in-between. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said this because he knew deep down in the hearts of every human is a desire to know their created purpose and a desire to know their creator and their Father in heaven. And Jesus provides comfort to anybody who grasps to this promise. Jesus is all we need in times of confusion and chaos. Jesus is all we need in times of uncertainty. Jesus, I'm going to keep saying this until you get encouraged. Jesus is all that we need. When we need a way, we find it in Jesus. When we need truth, we find it in Jesus. When you can't figure out your life, you find life in Jesus. In him, we find eternity. So Jesus not only gave them a promise about eternity, he said, because you trust in me, you have a guaranteed way to what I'm promising you. Jesus is all that we need. Put your hand on your heart. Encourage yourself with this. Jesus is all that I need. Jesus is all that I need. I might not have everything that I want, but Jesus is all that I need. I might be discouraged, but Jesus is all that I need. I may have taken a loss yesterday, but Jesus is all that I need. I don't have all the answers, but Jesus is all that I need. And I believe in his promise, because the same promise he gave the disciples back then, he gives that promise to me. I believe that though I can struggle today, my tomorrow is already set in stone and promise, because I trusted in the Lord. If you're glad about that, make some noise. Make some noise. Jesus gave them a promise, and he assured them of that second point. He said, I am the only way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of my favorite things to do is go to the movies. And if you ever wanted to take me and my wife on a double date, a sure shot is to say, do you want to go to the movies? I'll cancel any plan to go see the movies. If I could go every week, I would. I love the experience of going to the theater. I love the experience of ordering popcorn, and it's stale, but I put some butter on it, so it's good anyway. I love the experience of walking to the theater and getting to our seats and anticipating the movie that I'm about to see. And I'm a stickler of time. So if you go to the movies with me, I need to be there 15 minutes before the movie starts. So don't invite me and show up on CP time and we only see in half the movie, because you're gonna be by yourself. I'm already in the movie. I'm enjoying it. And one reason why I like showing up early is because before every movie, there are previews. Oh, sometimes the previews are better than the movie. I'm not missing my previews for you. So before the lights dim, I'm already sitting down because I'm excited about the previews. And if you've ever seen previews, oftentimes we see previews and coming attractions that we get super excited about. And there's nothing worse than seeing a preview of a movie and all the action comes on. It's like, coming. You're like, oh yeah, this is great. Oh, coming soon. And you're like, coming soon? I told y'all I'm a stickler of time. I hate it when the preview ends with coming soon, because that don't tell me when it's coming. I need a month, a date, a time. So oftentimes we go to the movies and we get excited about a movie that's coming, but the preview only gives us enough to get us excited. And then it says, coming soon. And Jesus, in this text, did the exact same thing. He said, I'm gonna give you a preview of eternity. I'm gonna give you a preview of your heavenly home. And guess what? I'm coming soon. You don't know the time, the day, or the hour, but I'm coming soon. And all I can do is tell you to hold on to this promise, because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm so grateful for the preview of eternity that Jesus gave us. Oh, hold on, wait. Because we didn't even read the preview yet. I know y'all ready to run and go to the Gathering Grill. But we find the preview in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Go with me. This is where I might run. I'm so sorry The preview of the prepared place can be found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. The Apostle John was able to receive this revelation and put it in the word for us. The book of Revelation is a recording of what God revealed to him about what happens before, during, and after the return of Christ. And in chapter 21, it's almost like we go to the movies for Jesus' promise and we see this preview. Can I read it for you? Just the first three verses, because I don't know if I'm gonna make it after verse three. Then, Revelation 21, verse 1, John says, "Then the Lord showed me a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a what? A bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Verse 1 through 2, when Jesus returns, he will bring with him a new heaven and a new earth. Watch this. God is going to uncreate the universe because the one we currently have is affected by sin. And God is a perfectionist, so he can't leave his creation flawed. So when he returns, the old heaven and the old earth is washed away. The home that God promised us, he's bringing it with him, and it will be the restored Jerusalem. The new heaven and the new earth is the new Jerusalem, aka the prepared place for the bride of Christ. Then in verse 3, this is where it gets really good. "Jesus, keep me." John said, "I heard a loud shout from the throne." Because how many of you know Jesus is no longer in the grave? He's no longer on the cross, but he's at the throne of the Heavenly Father. Then he says, "At the throne, he heard a shout and say, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with him.'" Our lives on earth in this time of waiting on Jesus, we're not meant to be satisfied by this life today. So when you deal with the uncertainties of life, when you deal with the ups and downs of today, when you wonder why you're not fulfilled and satisfied, it's because God never designed your life in this temporary time to feel like paradise. There will always be something that reminds you that, no, I'm waiting on my great promise. Today is not paradise. He makes it to where there's always something in today that makes you long for tomorrow. Jesus, in verse 3, is on the throne, making good of his promise. Many of us have become frustrated with our lives and the uncertainties of our current time. But we must remember that God never promised us paradise today. Our great hope and promise is that he will bring heaven to us when he returns. So yes, we suffer today. Yes, we go through it today. Yes, we deal with imperfect heaven and earth today, but it's this preview that gives us hope. It says that when Jesus returns, he's bringing heaven with him. And he's on the throne. And he will live with us. And we will be his people. And he will be with us. Do I have anybody that just wants to be with him? Oh, I'm not talking about anything fancy. I just want to be with him. If you've lived enough life and you truly love the Lord, the desire of your heart, I just want to be with him. I just want to know what it feels like to fully experience his presence. He gives us glimpses when we worship. He gives us glimpses when we come to the altar and we cry and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know that's just a small percentage of what his presence really feels like? And I just want to know, do I have some believers in here where your number one desire, I just want to be with God. I just want to know what it feels like to be in his presence with no distraction, with no sin, with no worries. I just want to know what his perfect presence feels like. And in Revelation, we get a preview of when he returns and brings us to heaven. And I just want to pause here because I want you to know that this is only half of what he promised to us. He said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come to earth and bring it to you. But there's even more for us to wait and look forward to. In verse 4 is a promise for everyone in here who's discouraged, for everyone in here where you cry yourself to sleep at night, for everyone in here where the enemy keeps playing with your emotions and your mind, for everyone in here who you've dealt with depression for a long time, for everyone in here who your sin has prevented you from fully walking in what God has called you to do and be, there is a promise for all of us starting at verse 4. Jesus, help me, or I'm going to run to the gathering grill early. Verse 4, in the prepared place that he promises us, we will experience the fullness of his presence. Look at what it says in verse 4. And as I read this, I want you to receive this in your heart as a promise to you as his follower. Verse 4, it says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of these things are gone forever. Can I read that one more time? When Jesus comes and we experience his presence, he'll wipe away all of our tears. He'll wipe away all of our pain, everything that you're sad about and depressed about, everything that keeps you discouraged will be gone forever. And in verse 5 it says, and the one sitting on the throne says, look, I am making everything new. Everybody say everything. And then he says to this, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. You know this is Jesus because he said this before. He says, it is finished. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. Here's the last one, and we're gonna praise and worship God together. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be their children. If you're excited about this blessing, I need you to stand on your feet all over the building, because this is a promise for all of God's children, his sons and his daughters. He will come and bring us heaven. And it says he'll wipe away every tear. It says he will wipe away every tear. He says the pain you feel will be gone forever. For somebody, you need to hear this. The regret you feel, it will be gone forever. The guilt you feel will be gone forever. The shame you feel will be gone forever. He will wipe it away, and all that will be left is joy and peace and love and glory in the presence of our Lord and Savior. If you're as excited as I am, I'm gonna give us about 10 seconds to thank God. This is just for people who want to be with him. Do you want to be with him? Do you want to experience his presence? Do you want all your pain to be wiped away? Do you believe in his promise? If you do, I dare you to just thank him in advance for what he's going to bring to us when he returns. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for joy. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for comfort in today. Dear Heavenly Father, we're discouraged today and we deal with pain today. We deal with all of these things. But I'm so glad you gave us a preview of your promise. And as your bride, we live with joy in spite of chaos, knowing that while we're separate from him, he's away preparing this place for us. Everything will be made new when Jesus returns. Everyone who placed their faith in Jesus will have a place in the Father's house. I'm so grateful for that truth. And I don't want to end this moment without giving someone an opportunity to grab hold to that promise. So I have two invitations today, because there's two people in this room, and only two people in this room. One, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And today, the Lord used this message to remind you of the great promise that we all have. And my invitation for every son and daughter of God, every believer, every disciple, because just because you're a disciple, that doesn't mean you're immune to being discouraged and the uncertainties of life. I invite every believer, if you need the Holy Spirit to fill you with the joy of this promise, Lord, remind me of the power of this promise. I challenge and encourage you to come to the altar and say, God, I'm trusting you as the scripture said. God, I'm holding on to this promise. God, like the disciples, I know that uncertainty is coming. But God, because you said it, I believe it. Because you promised it, I trust it. That's the first invitation. The second one is you're a person who you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And you had no idea what the Lord had to say today. And maybe you've had weird experiences with the church. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been judged. Maybe you've been condemned. Or maybe you've just never heard the gospel and given the Lord a chance. I encourage you to not make it about those past experiences and not make it about any person, but make it about, I cannot afford to miss out on this promise. I cannot afford to not secure my place in heaven. If there's a Father in heaven thinking about me, I want to have a room in his house. And when Jesus comes, I believe what the scripture says, that everything people judge me for will be wiped away anyway. And everything will be made new. So there's two invitations at the altar today. And we're going to worship together, celebrating that promise. So if that is you, I encourage you to already start to come down to the altar. Brother, sister, come so the Holy Spirit can fill you with the joy of this promise. And if you're just a visitor or a guest, you're a fellow image bearer of God, we offer this promise to you. Jesus wasn't just talking to the people back then. He was offering this promise to you today. And how many of you know that he's staying separate to give us time to respond to this promise? Today is a good day to secure this promise for your life. Because when Jesus returns, oh, I'm getting excited already. When Jesus returns, he's bringing heaven with him. And I want to hold your hand as we walk into the Father's house. I don't want you to feel left out when the Lord returns, because the way to God is not about getting your life right. It's not about learning all the scriptures. It's about trusting in the way, who is Jesus Christ. So we offer you Christ today. Will you come? This invitation is for you. Will you come to the altar today? I believe that there's a couple more people. I believe that. Don't let the enemy speak into your mind and make you second guess this walk. Today is the day you hold on to that promise. Come on, sister. Come on. Come on. I believe there's one more. Today, the Lord wants to make sure he encourages you with this promise. And all of the people who you're still where you are, I encourage you to extend your hands to the people at the altar as a symbol of celebration and agreement. As we celebrate this promise, we agree that the Lord is covering everyone at the altar with this promise. Will you pray with me over everyone at this altar? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We celebrate you, God. We love you, God, that you gave us this promise even in the most discouraging moment for the disciples, where they had to learn the uncertainties and the toughness of life, you didn't gloss over their discouragement. You told them to trust in you and believe in you. And then you gave them this great hope that while you're away, you're preparing a place for them in heaven. And dear Heavenly Father, you have sons and daughters who have come to the altar this morning, and they want to trust in you the same way that those disciples back then did. So dear Heavenly Father, we stretch our hands and we believe that right in this moment, the moment that they place their trust in you, their name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now you are preparing another room for them in your house. Dear Heavenly Father, we can't wait for your return. We can't wait for you to come back, because not only do you have a room for us, but everything that we struggle with, everything that's discouraging us, will be wiped away. So, dear Heavenly Father, while we wait on you, I pray that you would add peace to their hearts. I pray that you would comfort their minds. I pray that even though you didn't promise us paradise today, that you would give us contentment today, that you would give us endurance today, that you would give us hope today as we remember your promise. Dear Heavenly Father, we close this prayer celebrating, because we remember your promise. Your sons and daughters humble themselves before you at the altar, thinking of your promise, thinking of your words. Lord, we love you. Ooh, we just want to be with you, Jesus. We just want to be with you, Lord. Give us a glimpse of your presence. Give us a preview of your goodness. Give us a glimpse of your faithfulness. Give us a little bit of your presence now, Lord. Help us to experience a little bit of what we're going to experience in heaven tomorrow. Dear God, we enter into worship, believing and trusting in your word. Thank you for your promise, and thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We believe that you are the way. We believe that you are the truth, and we believe that in you we have life. And all who agree with this prayer, everyone say amen. Oh, say it like you mean it. Say amen. Say it like somebody just sealed their promise in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your promise. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.